It is good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. Let me ask you to begin finding in God's Word, Luke's Gospel, the 18th chapter, and verse 18 here this morning. It is 5 weeks until Easter, and we are beginning a Easter sermon series here today entitled The Walk to Jerusalem. And the title of this message is Who Then Can Be Saved? You are in Luke 18, and if you found verse 18, if you would be kind enough to rise to your feet as we honor our King with the reading of His Word this morning. And the Word of God says unto us, And a certain ruler asked Him, saying, Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is, God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for this glorious day that you have given to us. We thank you, Father, that you have moved in our hearts and you have brought us here this morning. We thank you for all those who are listening right now and those who will listen later. For Lord, we know that your word never goes out void. Lord, we thank you for that precious promise. Lord, today as we gather together, we ask that you would speak to each heart. Lord, we pray that everyone would have an ear to hear and a heart to receive and a will to do. And we ask these things in the most precious name of all, the name at which one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in His sweet and holy name that we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to walk with Jesus as He is heading toward Jerusalem. And as he heads toward Jerusalem, you'll remember he is on his way to die for the sins of mankind. And on his walk to Jerusalem, the Bible teaches that Jesus meets many people. And we discover one of the people that he meets here this morning. The Lord Jesus, as I said, teaches that many important things that we'll discover in our walk, but here, it's during this time, as he's progressing toward Jerusalem, that we learn some of the greatest Bible truths, because many people come to Jesus as he's on his final walk, and they begin to ask him all kinds of questions, and I think probably some of the questions they ask are some of the things we all wonder about, because people are people the world around. And so, one of the most important questions we find is this one right here in verse 26. Who then can be saved? Now, it's a question we all need to stop and consider. It's a question we ought not to be arrogant about. It's not a question that we should presume upon. It's a question that can be answered by the person who answers it here. Only Jesus can answer this question for you and I. And so, as we think about this, he answers this question throughout this text with this rich young ruler. Who then can be saved? Well, Jesus shares with us here in verses 19 and 20 that the one who can be saved is the one who knows God's requirement. And so one of the things that we've got to ask ourselves, do I know God's requirements? What has God said in His Word? Now, we're living in a world, and I think that you will agree, and even if you don't, it's okay for you to be wrong. But we are living in a world where many people really don't read the Word of God. We're living in a world of deception, and unfortunately, it's very easy for us to deceive ourselves even. And so we look around at society, and we look around at someone who says they're a Christian, and we look around and we see they're doing something, so if it's okay for them, it must be okay for me. And what we really do is we throw out theology and we begin to build our life on humanistic reasoning. That's something we need to think about. Is your claim of faith built on the Word of God? Do you even know what the requirements of God are? And so Jesus points out here, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, and it's interesting, he gives them in reverse. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, in that list there, we can see why there's a whole lot of people in our world today that need to spend an awful lot of time in church. But Jesus knows the heart of this man. And Jesus knows your heart. And Jesus knows my heart. There's nothing hidden from him here this morning. Now, you and I, we can put on airs. You and I, we can hide some things. You and I, we can dress up, perfume up, smell good for Sunday morning, shout amen in all the right places, all the while holding something back. You and I can be unwilling to totally surrender our life to Christ. That was a good children's sermon this morning, amen. I wonder this morning, just among this lot, how many really need to put up the white flag and wave surrender and surrender it all to Jesus. I wonder, as we sit here this morning, how many are going by humanistic reasoning. Jesus knows the rich young ruler hadn't done any of these things. He hadn't committed adultery. He hadn't killed anybody. He hadn't stole. He hadn't bore false witness. He'd honored his father and mother. By and large, just a pretty good fella. Wouldn't you agree? But I'll point out, first of all, that the rich young ruler knew God's law. You see, Jesus knew something that I know every time I preach. I might be talking to some religious people. This man was very religious. In today's world, he'd be in church every single Sunday morning. He wouldn't miss a service. He'd have what I had, a drug habit. Every time the church doors were open when I was little, Mom and Daddy drug me to church. I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday night for youth group. It didn't matter if the doors were open, I was going to be there. He was religious. And Jesus spoke to him, gave him a few of the commandments, and he said, this man knew the Ten Commandments. He here before us is a man who is doing what a lot of people are doing today, trying to live the good life. And there's a lot of Christians today who are trying to do good, trying to do it right, but they don't know what God has said. He claimed to keep God's law, just like a lot of people do today. I bet you if he was in church and the preacher was to say, how many of you love Jesus? He would have shouted out, I love Jesus. How many of you love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? That's me. That's what he would have shouted. Just like a lot of people. He thought that keeping God's law was an external matter. He thought he had to do. But it's an internal matter. He had to be. Friend, do you understand? In order to be a Christian, you got to be one. In this man, it's a matter of the heart. It's specifically obeying God's word from the heart. And here's the danger for those who live by humanistic thinking. They have convinced themselves that when they die, they will appear before God and they're going to be all right. After all, they prayed that prayer, but they never lived their Christian life according to what God has said in His Word. And we know what Jesus said. Probably they are to me. And I don't know what they mean to you. But I think that they produce fear for me. And I've heard them all my life. Jesus said, many shall come to me in that day, crying out, Lord, Lord, and I will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, depart from me, ye that claim to know me, but you lived in sin. You didn't live according to my word. You lived according to what you thought. What sounded good. I don't know, maybe it was Oprah's advice. I don't know, maybe it was somebody else's advice. There's a lot of things on Facebook that aren't holy. But I don't know how you're deciding what's right with God. But you see, God has given us this word. And in this word, there are commandments for us. For example, here's one that concerns New Testament Christians and church. And God has a commandment, Hebrews 10:25, we're not to be forsaking ourselves as the manner of some is, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what's the day that's approaching? It's the rapture of the church. What's my responsibility? What's your responsibility as a New Testament Christian to be where God tells us to be on Sunday morning so we can be an encouragement to one another? And so this is very important here. And so Jesus wasn't saying, I just want to share with you, religion can't save us. Religion binds us, and Satan loves to use religion to bind us to a list of do's and don'ts. And Jesus wasn't saying to this man that this is the way to be saved. He was trying to make the man aware of his sin. And that's the purpose of preaching. The purpose of preaching, it is the power of God to those who are being saved, and it is foolishness to those who aren't. Keeping the Ten Commandments will not save us. Do you know why? Well, the answer is simple. You're going to go, boom, why did I think of that? It's because we can't keep them. We can't keep them. The Bible teaches, Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law leads us to Jesus Christ because by the law we can understand, guess what, we cannot meet God's requirements in our own flesh. Only Jesus Christ can meet these requirements. And He paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. That's why the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Who then can be saved? It's the person who recognizes the obstacles. Look with me again at verses 22 and 23. Now when Jesus heard these things, what things did Jesus hear? He heard the young man boast, all these things I have kept from my youth up. I'm a good person. And when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But I want you to note what took place. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. This morning, I've no doubt that Jesus is going to point out to you what is standing between you and eternal life. That's what he was doing here. This young man was depending on religion, and his religion was an obstacle. And we've already talked about the fact that religion will not save you. But I want you to note as well, his wealth was an obstacle. This young man had a heart problem. His heart was set on material things. And I want you to note how he loved his money more than God. His earthly possessions were more important to him than any heavenly rewards. What he had in the here and now, he could see, he could touch, he could count, he could feel. What he was going to have in the hereafter, he could not conceive because he was blinded by his wealth. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he's willing to remove this obstacle in his life. And so God wants us to know not only was it religion, but it was also his wealth. It was. And I'm reminded here that Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now let me ask you some very personal questions this morning. Have you ever stopped to consider if there is an obstacle between you and salvation? That's kind of tough, isn't it? Somebody might say, don't meddle, Pastor, just preach. But what might the obstacle be? For example, what would be keeping you from salvation? Is it money? The pursuit of money? Is it the craving for continually more and more and more? You know, it was asked of Nelson Rockefeller back in the day, how much is going to be enough? You know what that fool said? He said, just $1 more. I hope he got saved before he died. I don't know. But if he didn't, I can tell you this, he ain't spending it down below. It all burned up. What's keeping you? What won't you let go of? Boy, I could go in a lot of ways here. I could preach for hours on this. For example, God's Word says fornication. And that's a big one in today's world. Because there are a lot of young people today who play in house, shacking up. You call it what you want. But God's Word says that's a sin. And if you're doing that, you need to put that away. You need to repent. You need to ask God to get your heart right. Because God still forgives, amen? But what about the drunkard who won't put away that bottle? Or what about the husband who can sing, oh, how I love Jesus in church on a Sunday morning and go home and beats the H-E double hockey sticks out of his wife the rest of the week? What about drugs? What about family? Now, family's a good thing, don't get me wrong, but sometimes we put away doing what God would have us to do because we got family. I'm asking you this morning, you need to think about this, friend, because it's God's desire that not one should perish, but that all should come to salvation in Christ. And we're living in a world where God says there's two sexes, there's male and female, and humanistic logic is trying to create five sexes. It don't make any sense at all, does it? Immorality is immorality. Sin is sin. What about the person who just kind of embellishes every story? I mean, no matter what you've done, somebody done it better. Then they add a little to it, don't they? Now, I know I'm meddling, and I know that Sam will tell me that after. He's going to tell me, Pastor, you should have stuck to preaching and not meddled. So I'm going to meddle, and I'm not going to apologize for it, okay? But somebody once told me if I could say it with a smile on my face, I would get by with it. I don't know. But if you get mad this morning, understand, I'm just trying to wake you up of your need of salvation. And why am I doing that? Because of the verse in the Bible that says, many are going to say unto me, Lord, Lord. And Jesus is going to say, away from me, I never knew you. Now here's the thing. What's the antidote to a live-in relationship to get your heart right with God? Repent and then get married. That's the antidote. repent, and then get married. And by the way, you'll find that in the Word of God. God talks about that. What's the antidote for sin? It is to repent and put it away. Don't do it no more. It's not going to be profitable for you. And a man who craves power, a man who craves money more than they crave God, guess what? That's sin. A man who says, I know what God's Word says, that I need to be in church every Sunday morning so I can be an encouragement to other Christians in this world. But you know what? I got my golf game. I got my fishing. I got this. That's sin. That's all it is. It's sin. Well, I'm going to move on. But you need to think about, what's my obstacle? And do I really want to have faith in my obstacle and show up in heaven one day and hear those words, away from me, I never knew you? Or do you want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? That's what I want to hear. And I'm going to be so bold to say, I know that's what you want to hear. But we got to get our hearts right. Who then can be saved? It is the person who lets nothing come between them and Jesus Christ. Who lets nothing come, and that's tough, because there's a lot of things that want to come between us and Jesus. Who then can be saved? The one who is doing, who's willing to do whatever it will take to come to Jesus Christ. That's the one who can be saved. Who then can be saved? The one who comes now. Who then can be saved? The one who realizes the power of God. The disciples, look at it, verses 26 and 27 here. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Now note Jesus' answer. And he said, the things which are impossible with men listen, when you get tangled up in sin, and I don't care what sin it is, it's hard to let that thing go. Can I get an amen? I mean, that sin just seems to weave its way in and out of our heart. It's got ropes around the outside of us. It binds us. And we think and make all kinds of excuses. We think, how can I let this go? It's impossible, God. Don't ask me to do that. It's impossible. And Jesus agreed. He said, with men it is impossible. But note this. What's impossible for men is possible with God. Did you catch that? The requirements of salvation, anybody who's ever told you, just pray this prayer, you'll be good to go. Anybody who's ever told you salvation is easy lied to you. Salvation is not easy. Christianity is not a playground. It's a battleground. There's nothing easy about coming to Jesus. There's nothing easy about salvation. Because God has some requirements in His Word that you and I are to fulfill. And they're not easy to fulfill in our own strength, in our own will. But what's impossible for us is possible with God, because when we come to know Christ as our Savior, He gives us His Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And when we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we have all the power of God to overcome. Hallelujah. The disciples are stumped. It's them who ask the question, Who then can be saved? And Jesus makes it very clear, salvation is only possible with God. You see, we cannot earn salvation. And I'm amazed. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time now. And I'll ask some people this question. If you were to die tonight and God was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? How are you going to answer that? And they immediately begin to list all the things they do. Well, I done this and I done that and I did this and I gave to that and I try to do the best I can. And you know what they're telling me? They're telling me they don't know God because they're telling me they're trying to get there on their own. You can't get home to heaven on your own. Some people like to say, well, I gave to this charity. I give my money to the church. I give to missions. I do all. You know what they're telling me? They're telling me I'm trying to buy salvation. You can't buy salvation either. It's free. Salvation is only possible by the grace of God. And the grace of God can save anyone. The grace of God can save the rich young rulers of this world. The grace of God can save dirty people and nasty people. And the only people that God has ever saved are sinners. And I'm one of them. Who then can be saved? The one who comes to Jesus Christ in repentance. That ain't easy, is it? I mean, most of y'all know this pastor is going to give an invitation call at the end of the service, and some of you are going to squirm. Some of you are going to hang on to that pew. Your knuckles are going to turn white. Some of you are going to wiggle, look down, look around, and think, I ain't going up there. No way. Because what's that person on the other side of the church going to think of me? If I go forward, somebody might think, well, whoa! How bad are they? It isn't easy to admit that I have failed. It isn't easy to admit we have fallen short of the glory of God. It isn't easy to admit that at 13 I prayed a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I will tell you this, at 20 you wouldn't have known if I was a Christian. But God's word is true. And God's word says that if you're a Christian who's fallen, gotten dirty, that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how I know I'm going home to heaven. I got a God who cleansed me. And so can you. Many of you have. But you know, many of you haven't. Simply because you're not being real with God. The rich young ruler left Jesus sad and unsaved. And I want you to note something. The only thing this man did right was that he came to Jesus in the first place. And I also want you to note that Jesus didn't turn him away. And Jesus will not turn you away either. You need to know that if you've gotten hooked up in some kind of sin, that there is a God in heaven who loves you unconditionally. And if you come and repent, He will forgive you mercifully and graciously. He'll set your feet on the solid ground. He'll put hope in your heart. And you will leave here today better than you came here. That's the kind of God we have. Jesus will not turn anybody away. And that cross tells us so. Hey, you might look up there and you say, well, how does that cross tell us so? Because His arms are open wide. It was the rich young ruler who turned Jesus away. And today, when I give that invitation call, you're going to have a decision to make.
Am I going to do what God would want me to do? Or am I going to turn like the rich young ruler and walk away? That's what it boils down to. Am I going to do what God would have me do? Am I going to get my life, my heart, my everything right with God right now, today? Or am I going to walk away? I can tell you this, the one who comes to Jesus in repentance and in confession will go home with Jesus in their heart today. The one who places their faith in the Lord, that's the one who can be saved. You see, we ask the question, who then can be saved? And the answer to that is this: the one who humbly repents, puts their faith, their trust, they come and they confess their sin. I don't know what it might be, but you do. You might need to come and say, God, forgive me. I've been involved, or I've been doing this, and it's not in your word. You said it's wrong. I have not honored my parents. I have lied. I have whatever it is. You need to fill in the blank for you. Because you and only you are going to stand before God one day. And you ain't going to be able to say, Mama, come help me. Daddy, come help me. No. You aren't even going to be able to call the preacher. It'll be you and you alone. Because the Bible says, Romans 14:12, so then every one of us will give an account of himself to God. And so you have a choice. Will you do what God says? Or will you walk away? And Brother Marty, if you and Sister Tammy would come and lead us in this invitational hymn this morning. If you would rise to your feet. Are you resolved to follow Jesus?